background. Can I move this one? Thank you. Morning. Whilst the leaders were gallivanting away in Oxford, Tracy and I took the young people away for a conference as well. We went down to St. Andrew's in Chorley Wood and spent a day in the life of One Life. And it was just amazing to see so many young people from age probably about 11 all the way up to in their early 20s, just hungry for God and worshipping together, passionate worship together. It was just incredible to see, and really, really blessed us. So we took the Year 10 Plus group, and Kez is just going to come and quickly share with us a little bit. We were challenged to get a light bulb moment, get a light bulb moment through the day. And so Kez is just going to come and share a light bulb moment that she had.
Hello. My light bulb moment was when someone stood up and shared their testimony from when they were younger. During worship, they saw two girls dancing at the front and longed to join in, but was too afraid that people would judge. They told us to not be scared to worship, because at the end of the day, it is between you and God, no one else. It helped me to realise that no one would judge you when your hands are held high. With that, I threw my hands up in the next song, not worried about people staring.
And just a big shout out to Jason, who got up really early Saturday morning and drove us down to One Life so that we could enjoy the day together. So big shout out for Jace. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, it says this: patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will, then you will receive all that he has promised. And I just want to start this morning by saying, well done. Well done. Well done for hanging in there through what has and continues to be a very difficult and challenging season of life that we're in. Well done. You've endured this far. And I speak for myself when I say, on the whole, with patience, because I know that I'm human. And sometimes my patience has been tested. But in a time of such hardship, it's quite easy to say, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Where are you in the midst of this pandemic? And if you're anything like me, you will have cried that out a few times in these last couple of years. And maybe the easy option is to stop listening to all the spiritual platitudes and just give up on faith. And many have during this season. But the very fact that you are here this morning shows me that you haven't. Despite all of the uncertainty and all of the loneliness and the anxiety that's gone with this pandemic, you've kept on going in your faith. You're hanging in there. So well done. Turn to the person beside you and say, well done. However, I've some news for you. I don't believe that this faith journey that we're on is actually going to get any easier as we come out of this pandemic. In fact, I know it isn't, because Jesus, the one that we follow, never said it would. Listen to this from Matthew chapter 7. Feel free to answer that. For chapter 7, verse 13. Reading from the Passion Translation, enter through the narrow gate, because the wide gate and the broad path is the way that leads to destruction. Nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. The narrow gate and the difficult way leads to eternal life. So few even find it. And Jesus also said this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And you know, as we've already touched on this morning, we stand at the brink with uncertainty, with fear, with unbelief as we watch man's stupidity, man's thirst for power, man's outright aggression. And we wait with bated breath to see what's going to unfold right before our very eyes. We stand with our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and we pray, God, let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. We pray for peace. We pray for forgiveness to invade the aggressor's hearts. And we pray that life and hope will reign over death and despair. And we declare the words of Psalm 46. Come see the glorious works of the Lord. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. And you know, as we read through the New Testament, we see that the church grew. We saw on that video how Jesus ascended up into heaven. From that time onwards, the church grew as the disciples and the apostles faithfully and passionately spread all around the world, taking the message of Jesus and making him known across geographical, national, and cultural boundaries. Do you know, they faced huge challenges. They faced huge opposition, persecution, and hardship. But what actually emerges as a consistent characteristic among them is patient endurance. Patient endurance. Not really a hugely glamorous characteristic, but one born out of worship, prayer, fellowship, and devotion to the one that they follow. Paul, he spent a lot of his time locked up in prison for his faith. John was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for his testimony about Jesus. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power who performed amazing miracles and signs among the people, he was martyred for his faith. The faith journey that we're on is always and continues to be a tough journey, full of uncertainty that requires us to make sacrifices. And it's a lifelong journey that requires a lifetime of patient endurance. So if it continues to be such a tough journey, I ask myself, have I got the resolve? Have I got the desire to keep on enduring, to keep on fighting? Why do I keep on walking this journey that I'm walking? Why do I keep on having to walk it with patient endurance? And the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. Jesus, the one who is God but became man. Jesus, the one who loves us even when we are unlovable. Jesus, the one who knew no sin despite facing temptation. Jesus, the one who is the first and the last. Jesus, the one who is faithful when we are faithless. less. Jesus, the one who is right here with us in our pain, in our disappointment, in our grief, in our sickness. Jesus, the one who is the King above all kings. Jesus, the one who picks us up when we fail, who forgives the disobedient me. Jesus, the one whose death and resurrection brings hope and life and joy into our lives. Jesus, the one whose teachings are timeless. Jesus, the one who lifts off the burden of guilt from our shoulders. Jesus, the one who hasn't finished with us yet. Jesus, the one who promises to never leave us or forsake us. Jesus, the one who is the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the one whose love for us is unquestionable. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from his love. Can I get an amen? Let's remind ourselves, or maybe hear for the first time, something of the awesomeness of Jesus. So I've asked some of my friends to help me with this. So we're just going to go and listen to this from John chapter 5. Just bear with me. John chapter 5, all the way to Ellie.
When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked.
Amen. And this from John chapter 9. Go for it, Laura.
As he went along, Jesus saw a blind man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash it in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing.
Amazing. A paralyzed man healed, a blind man healed. Listen to this from John chapter 2, read by Lydia.
When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Nearby stood six stone water jars, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now."
Wow, so a paralyzed man healed, a blind man healed, and then water changed into wine. And I'm sure when that master of banquet said that, Jesus gave a little wry smile. And to Miriam, she's going to read from John chapter 11.
On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. "Take away the stone," he said. So they took away the stone. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with stripes of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off his grave clothes and let him go."
Wow, a man raised from the dead. Jesus is an awesome God. I could go on, you know, I'm going to leave it there, but I could go on. Because actually it says in John chapter 21, it says this, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. That, friends, is the reason why I keep on enduring. I keep on fighting, why I keep on walking this journey of devotion to and faith in Jesus with patient endurance. But let's just remind ourselves that we are the church. We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. And he is preparing us for his return. He's looking for a bride that dazzles with his brightness and loves with his love. He's looking for a bride that's after his heart, that is intimate with him, that is passionate and exciting and vibrant and colourful. The heart of the church, his bride, is to love Jesus, love his people, and love the poor, and want to do the things that Jesus did. Jesus said this, recorded in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You are to love the Lord your God with a passionate heart from the depths of your soul, with your every thought and with all your strength. That is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is this: you must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. But in the turbulence that we face, how does our everyday, ordinary, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, just existing lives live that out? Well, just very briefly, I want to share three C's with you that I hope we can adopt for our lives if we aren't already, that will help us to be the bride that Jesus is looking for, loving him and loving others. The first C is confidence. Let's be a people who walk the journey of our lives with confidence, secure in the knowledge of who we are, because Jesus has gone before and allowed us to become forgiven people, heirs of his kingdom. Heirs of his kingdom, eternal people, loved people. Terry Virgo tweeted this just this week, which kind of resonated with me. He said this: churchgoers is such a sad and inadequate title for Christians. We are his people, his beloved children, his heirs, members of Christ's body, the temple in which he lives. Though we love gathering together, we are not mere building attenders. Let's be confident in Jesus, in his promises and his presence with us. But you know, in our confidence, let's not be arrogant. Let's not be arrogant. Sadly, you don't have to look very far, particularly in this age of social media, where everybody seems to have an opinion, to find many so-called Christians, particularly, I have to say, from the evangelical sector, posturing in arrogance as they fire off their opinions into the world of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the like. Let's be a people who are confident in who we are, but demonstrate that confidence in humility. In humility, as we love Jesus, love his people, and love the poor. The second C is courage. Let's be a courageous people. Let's be a people who demonstrate courage. To live more intentionally as Jesus' people, to love him, to serve him, and be courageous witnesses of his presence in our lives, not just by words, but I believe more importantly, by our actions. Let's be courageous enough to strip off our long-held traditions. I love what Trevor shared about the wildness of the Spirit, how we just do things. Let's be out-of-the-box thinkers. Let's be courageous enough to strip off our long-held traditions. Let's be courageous enough to ask some difficult questions about our ingrained theology and instead ask the simple question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do in the society that we live in right here, right now in 2022? Where would Jesus be if he was here right now in Stroud in 2022? And yes, the answer to that question may mean that we have to make adaptations to some of our theology. We don't have to abandon our theology, but some of what we cling on to may not be applicable to us now as we try and pursue fruitfulness for each generation. Let's be courageous enough to make the tweaks required so that we and his people can enjoy sweet and fragrant and juicy and tasty experiences of God in each generation. You might think I'm being a bit controversial. You may not agree with me, but it's okay, because I'm only repeating what Frog taught last Sunday at the Leaders' Conference. So it's okay, even if he does have a very funny name. So Martin and Sue and Graham and Harvey and Denise and Trevor and Carla, I encourage you to have the courage to debate the big issues. Debate the big issues, to be courageous enough to not accept the status quo, but to be willing to flow against the tide. Be courageous to have big, inclusive hearts and have the courage to develop big and bold vision. And the final C is compassion. Let us be a people that walk our everyday, ordinary, sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, just existing lives with compassion, with soft and tender hearts. We need to be an outwards living, good news people that ooze the compassion of Jesus in our words and in our actions. And like never before, as we navigate our way out of the last 2 years, there is hurting, broken people who need to see the love and compassion of Jesus in action. How do we do that when we ourselves are tired and empty and feeling overwhelmed and helpless, when despite our best intentions, our resources just seem to be exhausted? And Jesus told this, recorded in John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. We can only do it in Jesus. We can only do it in Jesus. Let him fill us with his compassion by his Spirit and be a people who reach out with Spirit-led supernatural compassion to listen and love people with tender hearts as they battle with their disappointment, their pain, their depression, their grief, their sickness, their shame. So let's commit ourselves to continuing on this journey of patient endurance, asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with fresh confidence, fresh courage, and fresh compassion. And let's be his bride that isn't just confined to a building, that isn't disengaging or bit boring. Let's not be a bride that just tells a story that is 2,000 years old. Let's be a bride that is living the story of Jesus right here, right now, real and effective and true and powerful. And let's be a bride that is loving Jesus, loving his people, loving the poor, and doing the things that Jesus did. Let's be Jesus people that are vibrant and exciting, colourful, engaging and connected. And let's be a people who experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through his Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let me just repeat that. Let's be a people who experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Shall we stand together? Ask the band to come back. And let's just pray. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, we glorify you. We exalt you. Where we have taken our eyes off of you, forgive us. Fill us with fresh confidence. Fill us with fresh courage. Fill us with fresh compassion. Let us have big hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Help us to be the bride that you so want us to be. Help us to be exciting. Help us to be engaging. Help us to be colorful. Help us to be connected. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, let us know your cascading love in our hearts. And from that cascading love, let us continue to walk with patient endurance. Let us love you. Let us love your people. Let us love the poor. Let us do the things that you did. Holy Spirit, come.